This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. Just got the finger from Dave telling me I'm on. I should say, oh, not that finger. Good afternoon, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday here at WVNJ, 1160 The Voice, between 1 and 2 p.m. I don't know if I said that or not. Sometimes I say it in my sleep. A couple of current event things I want to bring to light. Here's a little kind of a little schnicklet, if you will. The weather agency was incorporated, 1870, so that's 141 years that the weather's been being marked. So if you ever see the why, it's, you'll know why, you know, when they have it on the newscast. So I read that in the paper, so I thought I'd bring it out there. Why not, right? At 7:35 a.m. was the official time and date, November 1st, 1870. Anyway, so we'll get that out of the way. It's important news. I know everyone was just holding their breath from last week, wondering when I was going to announce that. Another volunteer organization, first responders out on the island in Nassau. I just wanted to say kudos to them. They got the prestigious award for the Nassau County Emergency Medical Services Council, and they get the highest award agency of the year. And that's fantastic. I don't think enough of that gets out there of volunteers who spend a lot of time, helping their fellow citizens, and I think that's fantastic. And they should awards are good. And, you know, there's a pat on the back's not a bad thing. You know, most of the time we're usually getting slapped in the face and not a pat on the back. And I'm not saying the ordinary stuff of, you know, doing your job or being a parent or, you know, your standard stuff. You shouldn't be or coming in 10th place and, yeah, you know, good job. But, you know, to get an award to come in 10th place, I don't go with that political correctness about that. You know, first, second, and third, it's about it. But it's good to see that volunteer guys, the EMTs and the fire departments and auxiliary police and such like that. And even CERT, and we're going to have a program on CERT sometime next month. I'm excited about that because I've read about it, but I can't get a, I can't, you know, I'm, I can't, I want to break it down to make it understandable for other people. I'm excited about that program. And I had a long conversation with Shelley Johnson, who's a fellow ACP member down that we were down in the Liberty chapter this past week. And if you remember from 2 weeks through 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, Jessica Sieperstadt, who was the president of the Liberty Valley ACP, it was a great conference. Some things I learned, some things I already knew, but we will be talking about CERT. I think Shelley is going to be the forefront of that. And she's also works for FEMA. So we also want, since the hurricane is still around, or the damages, we're just exasperated with the snowfall, this late October snowfall. So which we're going to have a guest on today. We're going to talk about that later on. But that's still very much in the news, if you will. Besides the people down downtown protesting, that's the main thing. But again, congratulations to the Nassau County Regional Emergency Medical Service Council and them giving out the award for Agency of the Year. That's good stuff. Also, a couple weeks ago, we had a couple of candidates who were running for the 38th Assembly here in Jersey. We had them on the program. Unfortunately, last week was election day, and they didn't get elected. They lost by a small margin, unfortunately. But when I talk about politics here, we'll talk about what they were standing for and what some of the things they wanted to accomplish if they had gotten elected, and that is flood control. I always say, listen, I'm always going to be busy. I'm always going to have broken pipes, and there's going to be small fires, big fires, and flooding like that. But, you know, this in our area with the type of soil that's in part of this county and in other parts of our county here in the northern Jersey area, runoff becomes more difficult because of the developments of, you know, mass neighborhoods that we have. So that was one of the stumping points for Mr. Goldberg and Erlonzo. That was something they were trying to get out there. And then I think some of their opponents started jumping on the flood bandwagon. Not to say it's a bandwagon. So I'm just using that term as flippantly, if you will. That was interesting, and one of the things a person that I'm associated with is Joe Parisi. He's the mayor of Englewood Cliffs. I've done work for his agency, but one of his things he wants to get accomplished in the next couple of years, he got reelected, is the flood control and flood prevention, and I think that's great, because I don't see it going away anytime soon unless we really make a concerted effort to try to fix that. Unfortunately, I'm involved in it's a pretty amazing thing. I've been doing this for a long time, but I just met some people on a house flood, and a little old lady, very very nice, but elderly and not as quick as she used to be. But it reminded me of something I read 2 weeks ago about an elderly couple dying in Teaneck with a kerosene lamp inside their house. There's a fire prevention has come a long way, and the education is constantly being pounded into the public. And next week, Lieutenant Steve Lindener will be on. He's from the Hackensack Fire Department. We're going to talk about some of the things that we need to still get out there. But the elderly couple, kind of, when I met this person the other day, the older person, and then the couple that died, the elderly, they're staying in their homes. They think it will go away, and or maybe the town will come in and take care of them. It's a constant battle, and it's unfortunate there are fatalities that come along with when you become older, along these lines of it's not a proactive, it's just not having the knowledge, because it's a different era and learning. I found out a couple of years ago when the tornadoes went through Brooklyn, and I got the city called me in. They said, listen, can you go assist this particular neighborhood? And most of the people were older, I should say. But the mentality is it's a tree falls on your house, it's the city's problem, it's not my problem. But and this is a different era. You have to, especially as I think about the insurance end of it, your insurance policy all reads, do the best of your ability to mitigate further damage. And that's what you're supposed to do. You can't just wait around and say, and point fingers and say, hey, listen, that the city needs to take the tree off my house. So let me springboard, because it sounds like I'm all over the place, but I'm really not. So we'll talk about my present day situation. The water inside this house is not this person's fault that the water is in the house, but however, we got to do something about it. So it's been festering, and there's been some issues, and great people and their daughters involved, and very, very happy to have met these people. And I'm glad, because I'm able to assist them, because it's a difficult situation. It's not a cut and dry where I come in, do the work, I build the insurance company, or I build a management company, and I get paid, and I move on and go to the next job. It's a little more involved, a little more complicated, and that's what I think separates some companies from other companies. So taking the time with the people from a different generation, if you will, it's you got to spend a little more time to make them understand that there's a procedure, and this is how you go about it. Just like mold, I mean, there is mold growing in the house now, and we'll take care of that. But I wanted to be out of the house. She really wanted to stay inside the house, and it wasn't a safe environment. And whether it's me, and there's some other good companies out there, some other good field guys that would probably direct her in the right direction also. But it's that, trying to convince somebody who's been doing it for 70 years their way and say, listen, I'm a young whippersnapper here, but you really need to get out of your place. We needed to do X, Y, and Z to take care of it and mitigate and make it a safe environment. And, eventually she can sell the home, but at present time she can't. So it's one of those challenges, and I thought maybe we should talk about that a little bit. I always like the first part of my program, I always like to bring in current events and things that have happened in the last week on jobs, and if I've learned anything, and if I can regurgitate and give some people some intel and some public service announcements, if you will, along this program. And that's one of them. I mean, and we talk about preparedness here. That's one of them, because this is actually very complicated. I'm not going to get too much details about it, but there's another family member. She's older. They live, one other person lives in a different part of the country. That's where you come into that prepared or that planning situation. And there's a lot of people, as well as animals. And let's talk about next month. I'm going to have a guest on talking about animals and the rescue of animals with disasters. The animals are part of our family. So that should be part of the plans. Like, okay, mom and dad, they're older, or dad's the only one around, or mom's the only one around. You know, there's something, you know, there's got to be a plan. They're probably not going to be not very receptive at the beginning, but it's something, you know, you got to break some eggs to make an omelet. So that's something, if I could, stirred a couple of, jogged your head a little bit, say, you know what, we better watch out for mom. She's going to, you know, like, she at least, you know, go to the bank, check her balance, and go to the grocery store every single day. You know, they're in that rhythm, and or rather that routine. So it's something that when it comes to a hurricane or it comes to a snowfall, there's thousands, tens and tens of thousands, or even hundreds of thousands, actually, I should say, in our whole immediate 90-mile radius of this program, that need assistance when these times come. But if we can do a little something to prepare ourselves for that's all the more wise. Let's go to a break, and we'll come back with our first guest, and we'll rock and roll. See you tonight. Bye.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
There it is again. Dave gave me the finger. Disaster Recovery Hour. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon, that is. WVNJ 1160, The Voice. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Before I pick up with my guest, I do have a question from Corey. Corey's question to me is, your experience, have you ever come across where an insurance company covers living expenses when you have to move outdoor and mold or clean up? You know, depends on your coverage of most mold coverage Someone can call in, tell me I'm wrong, but from my experience, there's a cap of $10,000 most carriers have. Some carriers have a rider where you can boost up that cost, so it's not such a smaller cap. Mold remediation gets expensive real quick, only because there's all these things you got to do. I can get into detail, but I don't want to, you know, but if the mold remediation job, let's quick example, Corey, if the mold remediation job is, say, a basement, and it's going to take you 4 or 5 hours to do it, to remediate it the proper way. Remember, an industrial hygienist needs to set the scope of work for you to adhere to. So, because you're the remediator and he's the doctor and he tells you this or whatever. But then clearance testing has to come in. So conceivably, you can be anywhere out. You can be out of your house from 5 days to 2 weeks. So, and where you're staying, how much money, your LEE, I mean, these are expenses that if they fall into a $10,000 cap, or maybe your carrier says, listen, you have a rider for an extra coverage, that could be the possibility. But I haven't seen many times, unless the house is completely infected, and if that's the case, something went wrong and you're not about your, you don't have all your wits about you anyway. But if it's in a central location, you can pretty much seal off that room, put in your negative air and your scrubbers and pretty much isolate that area why the person can live in the home. Then, you know, but it also comes down to people saying, listen, I have allergies. I'm going to leave the house anyway. So it really does come down to your policy coverage. But most coverages have that, especially in Jersey, have that $10,000 cap. Hopefully I answered your question. First guest today, Mike Peacock. Mike Peacock, are you there?
I am here.
Excellent, Mike. Mike is a liaison. Liaison, what am I talking about? I like that word, you know, liaison. Mike is a public affairs specialist for the U.S. Small Business Administration. And Mike has some mutual friends, Andy Weitzberg being one of those, who's the president of the ACP out there on the island. And Andy thought this would be a good program, because we're still talking about it. We're still reeling from Irene, and people, you know, you read an article in the paper about applying for loans, and there's a lot of people just say loans, and I don't think it gets the due justice. And I thought maybe a program to educate the masses here would be a good idea, and Mike is definitely taking some time because he's on the road, just like the FEMA people and guys like me and my business. We go where the disasters are to help be helpful. So Mike, let's start from the beginning. I know you started in the private sector, moved into the public sector. Why don't you start with the private and how you got into the public service?
Okay. First of all, thank you for having me on your program.
No,
happy to be here. I'm originally from Ohio, actually, and I started with SBA right after Katrina in September of 2005. Prior to that, I was in the private sector in the financial services industry for a pretty long time.
All right, so we won't date you. Don't worry about it.
So from approximately 1975.
God, you're an old guy.
Yeah, I am. I'm an old guy. So, but initially I got started with SBA as a temporary job to fill some time while I was looking for another position while I was in Atlanta. But then when I started doing the work, I kind of fell in love with it and decided to do it as much as I could. I'm still doing it today.
Almost like an unforeseen calling.
I'm sorry?
Like an unforeseen calling.
Yeah, yes, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I fell into this, my industry, the emergency service business, you know, fires and floods and such. I was same thing. I was looking for a job, looking to move into another direction. I had been in the managing of crews on demos and has stuff and things like that. And then a person said, listen, there's a person in New York City, he could use a guy like you. And so anyway, I fell into this situation, and, you know, I'm very grateful I found this industry, because it complements my personality towards the helping. I'm not saying I'm a Johnny Do-Gooder, but I think I try to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And being on the front line of after a disaster enables me to assist in like first part of my program. So let's go back. I'm sorry, I'm taking up about my time. So let's talk about the SB. So you started with just after Katrina.
Just after Katrina, and I actually started in Mississippi with Katrina recovery efforts there. And I worked there for approximately 9 months.
Hmm.
And then going forward, I just continued to do work with SBA.
Yeah. Now, Katrina and the face of Katrina is really New Orleans. But Mississippi got crushed. I went to the academy with a couple of guys, and that place was just devastated just as much.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of two different states approaching and being prepared differently. Is that what your take was?
Right. It was actually the eye of Katrina came ashore in Waveland, Mississippi. And so there was a lot of destruction along the coastlines of Mississippi. And so there are a lot of people that were left without homes. In addition to Louisiana and Alabama and a number of other places. So, yes.
So,
the destruction with Katrina was very widespread.
Right, and 9 months away from your family or where you live.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's, you know, I think people tend to forget. I was talking with Shelley Johnson last week at this conference. You know, when she's in a good relationship, she was telling me she's in a good relationship where she's able to go away for 5 or 6 months. And you know, there's this, I think there's this misnomer of the FEMA and the SBA that, you know, they're always getting beat down. And it's, my experience of the last six or seven years when I've done the hurricanes in different parts of the country, I see people who are passionate about trying to help other people, and I don't think that's but it doesn't get that's not good ink, you know. The papers kind of beat you guys up a little bit, and
right.
And listen, of course, some files will go awry, and just like me or
right.
a mechanic might do a bad job one time, but it's the one time that really muddies the water for everybody. So let's talk about. Because I know what we have. December 15th is the filing deadline.
Yeah.
But people, again, I think it's, you know, it's intrusive. They want paperwork. Why don't you give us a standard, let's go residential before we go into business. Give us a residential or renters or scenario that you encounter and that you're trying to, you know, facilitate this information and help for.
Okay. So let's give, let me give you a brief explanation of the process itself. So, for example, for Irene here in New York, person who's had damage or just water in their home should first of all register with FEMA by calling that 1-800-621-3362 number. Once they do that, or they can do it online at disasterassistance.gov.
Which is up on our website, people, drhradio.net. That's right there and. Blue letters. So go on, Mike. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then once they do that, they're going to be given a FEMA registration number. It's a 9-digit number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, through that registration process, they're going to be asked a number of questions about their family size, household income, the type of damage, the location of the damaged property, things of that nature. Once they go through that process, FEMA is going to make the determination as to whether or not they're actually going to be referred to SBA so that they should apply for an SBA disaster loan. If they're not referred to SBA, then they're referred immediately to FEMA's Other Needs Assistance Grant Program.
Okay.
Okay. And that's for additional grant consideration for things such as personal property, such as transportation, things of that nature, washers and dryers.
Do you find... Listen, no one likes to give out their information, and we talked about it last week with David Guntrup, who's an IT disaster guy. You know, people give out information all day long on the internet, but you know, when someone gives them a piece of paper to fill out, they're like, "Should I really?" So, do you find that as a hurdle?
Not as much as most people think, because
oh, okay.
First of all, when they're registering, they're initiating the call,
right?
Okay. And so they're a lot more comfortable giving that information if they're initiating the call rather than if someone's calling them and asking for the information. Okay.
Right.
And then there are always going to be some people who are more hesitant in giving that information out. But the only way that we can help them is for them to give us that information.
Right.
So that we can process it. Okay. So going on in the registration process, if they are referred to SBA, then they will be sent an SBA loan application in the mail. And this is from the Office of Disaster Assistance. And many times, that's the first time that people actually realize that SBA is involved in the disaster recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And their first response is, their first reaction is, why am I getting this from SBA? First of all, I'm a homeowner or I'm a renter, and I don't have a business.
Right.
Okay. And the reason that they're getting that is because SBA's Office of Disaster Assistance is the nation's number one provider of funding to individual homeowners and renters in their recovery efforts from a declared national disaster.
Wow, didn't know that.
Natural disaster.
Yes. I bet a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, most people don't know that because they're aware of the assistance that they get from FEMA, and they readily seek that assistance because that's grant money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when they get that, when they register, FEMA is going to provide them assistance for emergency needs. And what people also get confused about is FEMA's mission in a disaster recovery. FEMA's mission is to make sure that an individual homeowner or renter is in a place that is safe, sanitary, and habitable.
Right, right, right.
Their mission is not to try and make them whole again. Okay. So if they've had significant damage to their residence, their FEMA inspector is going to come in and look at their residence and see what it's going to take for emergency repairs to make sure that their home again is safe, sanitary, and habitable.
Right. Let's, Mike, we'll hold you there. We'll go to commercial break. Continue with that because we're going to start Rock Rogers with more questions I have for you. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. Service Master Restoration by CPP is the answer. Service Master Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Hi, this is Kate Valentine of the Kate Valentine UFO Show. Thank you for joining us on our journey for answers. We are traveling to you on the radio waves, the internet, and by podcasts.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come and go.
The UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Thank you to our sponsors who have supported the show and our journey for answers.
The first time that we saw combat as a unit, it was more surreal than anything.
Retired Staff Sergeant Dan Nevins.
You're under fire, you're getting blown up. There's definitely adrenaline. There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery and I was on a lot of pain medicine. What's going to happen next and how long am I going to be here? The Wounded Warrior Project dropped off a backpack for me, and it had everything in there that I could possibly have needed at that time. Peer visitors, people who had been where I had been before, said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. That type of thing is an invaluable service. To be honest, I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least 1 in 4 businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Hey, back from the break. Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour. We host every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here, WVNJ 1160. On the phone today is Mike Peacock. Mike is Mike's one of the main guys in the field for the SBA. And Mike, let me hold you for a second. There's a question for you, but Jim, we'll get to that question. Let Mike finish the process, and then I'm going to ask him that question. So stand by, Jim. Okay. So go continue what we were talking about before we went to the break.
Okay. And so, continuing on with the process, if they are sent an SBA application, then they should complete that application and send it in as soon as possible in order to complete the overall recovery process. Now, many people may not qualify even after they submitted the application. Mm-hmm. They may not qualify for an SBA loan.
Mm-hmm.
Or for homeowners and renters who don't qualify for that SBA loan, they are then referred back to FEMA for additional grant consideration.
Okay.
This is very important.
Okay.
If they choose not to complete that application, they don't get that referral.
That's the key, right?
Yes.
That's the key. So here's the question from Jim for you, Mike, is with the current credit crunch, do you find that assistance is harder to come by?
It may be a little bit harder to come by, but they are considering that on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
And don't eliminate yourself. Don't take yourself out of consideration just because you think you may not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in addition to that, if you don't qualify, then you're referred back over to FEMA for additional grant consideration.
Right. So you're in the system. I mean, there's a paper trail. You've done due diligence, and you know you need some assistance. So the SBA, you know, the qualifications weren't met.
And here's another thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you can't qualify right now because you've been downsized from your job.
Mm-hmm.
By getting that application in, getting the denial from us, and you'll get a letter from us that says what the reason was for your denial.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say a couple months down the road that now you've been recalled to work, and now your cash flow situation has changed. You can be reconsidered for that application. But if you don't get that application in by the 15th of December, that's off the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I didn't know, and I thought I've had a fair amount of losses and people who have been on both sides of the economic scale and plenty of people in between. It is key to fill it out, give it a shot. You know what, one of the challenges that we have, part of my program today was talking about people from the older people, you know, the mm-hmm. 70s and 80s and early 90s, that generation were, you know, they didn't ask for help.
Right.
And there was a lot of agencies that didn't even exist back then. So I understand that. So if you're brought up with hand-me-down clothes, that's what you're used to. That's what you're used to. But one of the things with the older people that I run into is I'll get a referral. Can you go out and see if you can be of assistance? They don't place a claim. Placing a claim doesn't cost you anything. That's very similar to the SBA thing. It doesn't cost you anything to fill out the paperwork, but at least you get into the pipeline.
That's right. It only costs you your time.
Right. So, okay. I mean, it's proactive to do, not proactive, but it's due diligence, if you will. I always like to say that's an insurance kind of gig, but to at least get you into the mix, invited to the party at least.
Yes, and another thing that happens is when you mentioned insurance just then, is a lot of people may be waiting for their insurance to settle with them, or some other type of settlement. Now, what we encourage people to do at the SBA is to go ahead and file with us, because what's going to happen is we're going to send an inspector out to look at your property and talk to you about your overall damages, not just the emergency fixes,
mm-hmm.
because our mission is to try and get you back whole, get you back to the position that you were in prior to the occurrence of the event. So we're going to talk to you about all of your damages, and then what we can do is we can possibly lend you enough to fix your entire damages and then accept a settlement of whatever insurance proceeds you get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what you're left with us is a net loan for the net uninsured losses.
Okay? So,
because very often we can complete the loan process within about 21 days.
Oh, that's I know most people are thinking a lot long, months and months.
No, believe me, we've already approved for Irene in the state of New York over $61 million.
Now, they run from any size corporation to mom and pop, or
yes, okay. Out of that $61 million, $48 million are to individual homeowners and renters.
Okay.
And $13.5 million to businesses.
Now, is the process different from res to commercial?
It's basically the same process. The amount of support for the application is a little bit different. Now, there is also another significant difference between homeowners, renters, and businesses. Because, for example, the big difference is for homeowners and renters who fill out an application and are denied the SBA loan, they get referred to FEMA for additional grant consideration. For businesses, FEMA doesn't provide assistance to businesses. Okay, all of the assistance for businesses comes from the SBA in the form of low interest rate loans.
Mm.
Okay, and now let me give you another bit of information about these loans. For example, these loan interest rates can be as low as 2.5% for individual homeowners and renters for up to 30 years. Okay.
Wow. And it's a mortgage. It's a mortgage.
Yes. Okay. And for businesses, the interest rate is as low as 4%. And for private nonprofit organizations, the interest rate is as low as 3%. And again, for up to 30 years. Now,
the 30-year thing, I haven't heard that at all. So I think that's I hope people are listening and paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. But that's big. It's not like you have to pay back in 60 months.
And we try to work with the applicant to determine the most affordable payment amount for them,
mm-hmm.
and then we back into the term of the loan. Okay, so you could have neighbors with the same dollar amount of the loan, but different monthly payment amounts,
right?
And therefore different terms. Okay. Now, for a homeowner can borrow up to $200,000 to repair or replace their damaged primary residence, plus up to an additional $40,000 to repair or replace their damaged personal property.
Personal property, right.
Renters are only eligible for the personal property portion.
Right.
Businesses of any size, plus private nonprofit organizations, can borrow up to $2 million. And that's for real estate, machinery and equipment, inventory, anything of that nature. Okay. And then we have another type of loan that's for small businesses and private nonprofit organizations that's called an economic injury disaster loan. And those are loans for working capital needs that arise as a result of the disaster. So, for example, let's say that you have a restaurant And because of the storm, access to your restaurant was cut off, and your customers couldn't get to you. So you've had, obviously, an economic impact to your business. So even if you didn't have any physical damage, okay, you could have had economic damage
right,
to your
right.
business. Okay? And those economic injury disaster loans, you can borrow up to $2 million for to help you continue to pay monthly expenses such as your mortgage, mm-hmm. your lights, your utilities, things of that nature.
Right, because you could have you're a manufacturer and your supply guys are down.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, just like with the Japan with the auto industry for over here. Mm-hmm. I do have a question from Dave. It says, what happens if a business that received an SBA loan eventually goes out of business? That's one question. Is the business owner personally responsible for paying back that loan?
Generally, the business owners are personally responsible for the loan.
So there's a PG involved.
I'm sorry?
There's a personal guarantee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And generally, with loans over $14,000, there's going to be collateral involved also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That would, I think, you know, the program, you know, what we want to get out, Mike and I, is the information to, or the misnomers that are out there, if there are. I think there are. I think there always is when you're talking about our government. It's just natural. We're cynic. Americans are naturally cynical about that.
Right.
So it's a challenge on a person like yourself or the FEMA people. You know, you're away from your home. Out in a disaster area, and every day is nothing but you know, heartache and disaster and loss of personal property, homes, businesses, and so it gets very trying and wears thin after a while. But you know, I had no idea the SBA had the same type of if you will, boots on the ground like FEMA.
Yes. We have people, anytime that, for example, that there's a disaster recovery center that opens up, you know, FEMA and the state open up a disaster recovery center, we have staff in those disaster recovery centers also, okay, that are there to assist people with questions about the SBA process and assist them in completing their applications. And then, typically, even after some of the disaster recovery centers close down, we'll open up what we call disaster loan outreach centers. And the reason that we do that is because we understand that the application process for our loans is a little bit lengthier,
mm-hmm.
okay, than the registration process is. So we open up those centers where we continue to provide that service to people and help them to get their questions answered.
Let's go, we'll go to a commercial break. Mike will be back with me for a few more minutes, and then we'll close it out. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat, at least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
When our men and women join the military, they're told, if they're injured, our government will take care of them. But what if you served and sacrificed for your country and couldn't get the specialized care, military benefits, and career opportunities you needed? Chris Sullivan was on patrol in Iraq when a sniper's bullet severed his spinal cord, leaving him paralyzed. He's one of the 85% of veterans with severe disabilities who are unemployed. Keisha Wright, Paralyzed Veterans Counselor.
We got people who have amazing abilities, and they're just not having the opportunity to go back to work and live their full potential.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is on a mission. Mission ABLE, to help our seriously wounded veterans receive what they need most, care, benefits, and jobs. Army Sergeant Chris Sullivan.
If it wasn't for PVA, I would not be where I'm at today. I would have never had this job opportunity.
Join the mission at mission-able.com.
Dave did it again. I never liked that guy. Disaster Recovery Hour, Winding Moments. My guest today is Mike Peacock, and Mike works for the SBA. He's a field specialist, a boots on the ground guy. He helps out our American citizens and business owners. Mike, we'll sign off. We have the website people can visit. What are your final thoughts on how the show or the future of our information we can get out there for these people?
My final thoughts are: most important thing, if you receive an SBA application in the mail, it's very important, extremely important, for you to complete that application and get it in before the deadline. Now, it's particularly important for people who feel that they can't qualify for an SBA loan to complete the application and actually get the denial from us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they get that denial from us, then they're going to be referred over to FEMA for additional grant consideration.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's for individual homeowners and renters. For example, let me give you this number. We've issued over 30,500 applications in the state of New York. To date, we have received back about 3,800.
31 to 38.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. So there are tens of thousands of people out there in New York that are possibly leaving money on the table that could be helping them in their recovery efforts.
That's an insane number. That's crazy. So, but it's just filling out some paperwork. So maybe we knock the wall down a little bit for people to get a little more of a comfort zone, if you will, by having that application still sitting on their dining room table or wherever they stage their mail. That hopefully between you and I, and we can get some help to some people. I know, you know, it's again, we gotta. the key is that paper, so it can. If, again, the denial letter is huge. That's probably something that you're hoping to get a denial letter almost, so you can be into the pipeline, and maybe FEMA can assist you in another capacity.
Yeah, you will at least know where you stand.
Right.
Don't take yourself out of the game.
Right. Now, we do have Mike's information on contacts for the website. It's up on the web, our website, drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. Mike, I appreciate it. I know you live in Atlanta, but you're up in Albany. You're staying with the A's. You only go to cities named A. And what's that all about? I guess we go to Astoria, Queens. I got some friends out in Astoria. But I
was there earlier.
Were you really?
Yes. I was down in the Burroughs area. Before I came up here, I was there for about 6 weeks.
Oh, well, hopefully you had a couple of good meals. That's there's one thing I did make sure when I worked out of state and I to these other crazy natural disasters and such, was I always try to find a good restaurant.
Right.
So I'm not the thinnest guy on the planet, but if you're gonna be away from your home, you might as well get a good meal.
Right.
Yeah, Mike. Again, thanks a lot for taking some time. Anything? Well, we're probably going to have questions on the comments page for you, because we have people can download the podcast, and they listen to it at a different time throughout the week. And
we get
questions. So all you have to do is just hopefully there'll be some questions and you can assist people. You can literally just go on through our website, drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net, and you can see the question if it's applicable to you. Hit the reply, but it's Mike Peacock, and go ahead and answer it, you know. So
I will do what I can.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Again, appreciate you're on the road. I appreciate you taking time. You're in the hotel. You probably got files at the wazoo, and be safe out there, right?
Listen, I appreciate your help with this, Chris.
No, but bless. It was definitely my pleasure. I hope we can. Hopefully, we can help some people out.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
That was extremely informative, enlightening too, because. I really do. I think I've been doing this a long time, and you know, I run into the FEMA guys. I've never really run into an SBA guy before, and I just thought it was paper pushing behind the scenes, and I thought actually all that paper was facilitated through FEMA over to SBA, but they're actually two different entities. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't know it. If that makes any sense. But to reiterate what he said is, it's key to fill it out, get denied. Right, at least it goes back over to FEMA, and then FEMA can reevaluate and possibly put you a couple of shekels in your pocket. To there's a lot of people out there, and I've been to many homes that are upside down. Their insurance coverages aren't covering everything they need to. A very, very good friend, she's the third time she's been flooded, or fourth time she's been flooded. I met her, and she's become a friend because of the flood. She called me in the first time. And you know, she's a, like I said, good person, but you know, it's a shame when it just gets continually happening, and you know, you're beating people down like that. Again, so if that was Mike Peacock from SBA. Check it out on our website, drhradio.net. I do have a follow up question from Corey, who did a question at the beginning of the program. It's actually a kudos to me. It says, Chris, thanks. I'm very happy I came across the show today. My grandmother's home was flooded during Irene, and I suspect it could be more caused damage when I visit this past week and it smelled musty. We could have a problem, and you probably do. Remember back grandma's and grandpa's houses, but you know, they're into shutting down the doors are, you know, heavily barricaded, you know, the locks are up, the windows are shut. One of the things a house needs to do, a house needs to breathe. It needs ventilation. And there's a reason why everyone remembers, you know, you go into, you know, the smell is one of the key senses where it brings back memory. At least it is for me. You know, I can smell something and it takes me to my grandmother's apartment in the city up on 107th Street and Broadway. Forget about it. I'm telling you. You know, and the plastic on the furniture. That stuff exists, and it exists to this day. So grandma and grandpa's homes are pretty much like that still. But they do seal them up, and it, you know, it's again, you're it's kind of shoveling against the tide with that. because they have a mindset. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, we gotta be patient. We gotta open up their eyes a little bit. And homes again are supposed to breathe. So that musty odor that you automatically assume came with age, it's not. It's the house. It's not grandma and grandpa. So the further his comments is going to look into this further, and maybe we'll meet in the not so distant future. He's in Cliffside Park, CP over there. I'm a Bergen County guy. I grew up in Leonia, so I know about it. So reach out, Corey, if you want. Call the office. All the numbers are on the website. 201-483-8953. If I could steer you in the right direction, whether it's a phone call or a visit, again, no problem doing that. It's what I do. I know you think I'm a big media mogul with this radio program, but I'm an average Joe, and I work out every day, going through these situations and homes and businesses. A couple minutes ago in the show, if you guys listen to some of the new commercials that we got with the Wounded Warriors and hiring a vet and also the power and the generators and things like that, everything about the show, the commercials, anything is driven towards a disaster, and or we can mitigate and not have the disasters be so impacted on our lives. So check into that. And you know, the generator thing is a very hot topic. People are a little sick and tired of going weeks on end without, I should say days, and then sometimes turns into weeks without power. There is an alternative source out there. I am plugging my good friend Dan O'Brien. He's a Dynamat guy. He knows firsthand about power outages because he's also a lieutenant in the fire department. So he sees the misery on some people's faces. Kudos to the guys out there in Nassau County for getting the Agency of the Year award. Volunteers, thank yous for that. Guys spending their nights doing drills and things like that. And even, you know, that's the volunteer. Even the paid guys, they put more hours in than what's written in the papers about checking in, punching in, punching out. It's just work, as I say. But and there's also the CERT, and we're going to talk about the CERT in the near future. That's Community Emergency Respond Technician, I think it's what it's tagged as. Last but not least, another soldier, another New Jersey guy, Long Island guy, killed in Iraq. I mean, in Afghanistan. We got to do something about this. This is just. I know Iraq is supposedly over, but there's coalition forces and so on and so forth, and part of Americans, but God forbid, let's go. Let's end the thing, and God bless us. Be safe, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Take care of yourselves.